Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors. The operative word there is we, you and I. We get together and we talk about everything that we do here in the outdoors. And as far as improving the fishing this week, well, I think we need a little more rain. What do you think? Good grief. I have no idea how much rain we've gotten this week, but it's significant. And for fishing the streams and the rivers, it's a little bit interesting. I really don't care to fish in the rain that much. I mean, most of the time when you got rain, you got northeast wind, you know, you don't, or east wind of some kind, you really don't have a high participation rate when you're out there as far as the fish cooperating. And so I'm not a big fisherman or hunter on an east wind. It has happened where I've been successful, but in general, you get northeast, even southeast wind. Sometimes it's not all that productive, but maybe you have a difference of opinion on the wind. But, you know, if you do, I'd love to hear from you at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. We know the fishing has been pretty good when people could get out. I see plenty of boats out there in the bay, and they're getting good reports of people going out and still catching those nice big rockfish. And, you know, that's their prerogative. It is the season. Tis the season, so they say. So we hope you've been able to get out there and get after them. And as far as, you know, on the streams and the rivers and lakes and that type of thing, yeah, it's miserable. You know, the spawning has started with some of the bass. It started early when we had the warmer weather, and then it kind of backed off a little bit. So we'll give it a shot on Monday. We'll go out there to the reservoirs and see if there's any fish to be caught, and hopefully we'll have a good day. So we'll see what happens. However, there are those who who like to violate our trust and do things that are not legal to do. You know, pleading ignorance is really not an excuse. Ignorance of the law, when you get caught doing something you shouldn't be doing. And, well, they found a few folks fishing for striped bass. A fellow by the name of Christopher Morton McEntee. I don't know how to say it or spell it. He was 27 years old from Philadelphia, and Daniel Aloysius Loughlin of Westchester. These are Pennsylvania fellas. Seen fishing for striped bass in the Susquehanna River near Port Deposit on March 31st. They were wearing waders and using heavy tackle as they fished a Rock Run Rapid, an area just north of the closure line. The officers saw the men catch a striped bass, estimated to be about 28 pounds. 3.5 ounces. Snap photos and return it. The men admitted they were trying to catch stripers and did not realize they were in a closed area. If they're found guilty in Cecil County District Court on May 18th, each man could be fined as much as $1,000. Now, Mickle Quinn, 56, and Michael Patrick Quinn, 29, both of Calora, were charged with illegally fishing for river herring in Principio Creek in Perryville on April 18th. 16 fish and their equipment was seized. They could be fined $400. And I'm assuming that they don't know that herring is closed. And I'm guessing they were out trying to catch some striper bait, rockfish bait. Jack Patton Ritter, 21 years old of Perryville, he received citations for illegally fishing for striped bass and river herring, both at the confluence of the Elk and Bohemia Rivers at 11:30 p.m. on April 13th. 15 fish were seized. He must appear in Cecil District Court at a time to be determined. And then David Francis Rooney, 27, of Howell, New Jersey, was caught striped bass fishing at Rock Run Landing in Port Deposit just past midnight on March 31st. He is scheduled to appear in Cecil County District Court on May 25th, where he could be fined as much as $1,000. See, the NRP folks are watching 24/7, 365, and in particular during the closed season, and in particular during a time of day when fishing is closed. So, you know, you might think you're sneaky, but you're not. Now, this is a pretty egregious charge right here. Two Virginia men were charged early Friday morning with multiple poaching violations after officers on surveillance in Dorchester County caught them with 22 undersized striped bass. Obed Villaquileas Zavala, 31, of Woodbridge, and Jose Rides Vasquez, 29, of Alexandria, were stopped as they drove away from a spot on Fishing Creek. Officers cited them for possessing undersized fish, overfishing, catching fish in a restricted area, and possessing striped bass beyond the legal time. The two men must appear to answer the charges. They are scheduled to appear in Dorchester County Court on July 20th. If they are found guilty, they each face a fine of up to $6,000. And they were identified again as Obed Villaquileas Zavala and Jose Rides Vasquez. So, gentlemen, for your performance here in Maryland with catching 22 undersized striped bass and being stupid enough to be caught with them, we salute you. Today. I wonder what the limit is. Who cares? We have dinner. With Pico de Gallo. Some guacamole. WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I don't just think that it was the fishermen that were were found. All this is, by the way, from the DNR DNR report that came out yesterday on the NRP blotter. And we salute our men and women out there in the patrol the great outdoors, protecting the public trust. Man from Arkansas who struck out during a turkey hunt in western Maryland was charged with poaching after he shot a bird from his pickup truck. Yep, couldn't call him. Couldn't get him to come in. Maybe had a gobbler and, you know, just couldn't seal the deal. So, you know, rather than throw your arms up and say, hey, that's hunting. Nope. Benjamin Andrew Wallace of Jonesboro, Arkansas, 31, received three citations last Saturday when an officer stopped his truck after receiving a call about a shot fired in a cow pasture in Accident, Maryland. The officer saw the turkey in the bed of Wallace's truck, and he admitted he, well, officer, I couldn't resist. Quote, couldn't resist killing it so he wouldn't return home empty-handed. The officer found a loaded shotgun in the truck cab. The turkey was donated to a needy family. Mr. Wallace is Benjamin Andrew Wallace, 31, of Jonesboro, Arkansas, who just couldn't resist killing that turkey. He's scheduled to appear in Garrett County District Court on August 4th. If he's found guilty of hunting from a vehicle, having a loaded weapon in the vehicle, and hunting on private lands without written permission, he could be fined as much as $4,500. And here's the scenario. Well, Mr. Jones, you came up here from Arkansas to Garrett County. Yes, I did. And you were turkey hunting. Yes, I was, Your Honor. I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry you're such a bad hunter, Mr. Jones, that you couldn't seal the deal on the turkeys where you had permission to hunt or on public land up here in Garrett County, but you know what you did was wrong.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Well, you understand you shot a turkey that belongs to the citizens of Maryland from your truck. There's a problem there, Mr. Jones.
Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Well, the problem is that they fired a loaded firearm from inside your vehicle. You could have been harmed, and anybody traveling the road could potentially have been harmed. And, you know, you were in a cow pasture, by the way, and there were cattle in there, and you might have harmed one of the cows, and then, you know, you'd be in worse shape.
Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Well, why did you do that, Mr. Jones?
And I couldn't resist.
Well, you have pretty weak will then, don't you, Mr. Jones? How long have you been hunting?
I've been hunting since I was a baby. I growed up in Arkansas. That's what we do.
Well, then you should have known better. Well, Mr. Jones, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Here you're charged with having a loaded shotgun in your truck. You stole a turkey from the landscape here in Maryland, from the citizens of Maryland. And this fine officer that was able to stop you in the midst of your evil deeds has, you know, had to come in here to court for the day. And so you've taken up his time, and you've taken up my time, and all the other people that are here in the courtroom, you've taken up their time, too.
Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Well, you also, you know, didn't have any written permission, and so there's a lot of violations here. There's a fine here that could be $4,500.
Yes, ma'am, I'm so sorry.
I'm sure you are, Mr. Jones. So here in Garrett County, we don't tolerate that type of thing. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have you plead guilty to one of these three charges, and we're going to take your $45 fine and reduce that down to $250, and then we're going to suspend that. So listen, you pay your court cost of $26, and don't come back to Garrett County to go hunting anymore.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Thank you, ma'am. I'm so sorry.
I'd love to be there. Well, anyway, a citizen with a camera helped officials catch an Elkton man on Saturday who was trespassing on private property in Kent County to turkey hunt. Joshua Lee Poe, 28 years old, from Elkton. He was charged with hunting without written permission after officers confronted him on posted private property. The poacher had been entering the property over a five-day period. Poe scheduled to appear in Kent County District Court June 8th, found guilty. He could face a maximum fine of $1,500. I tell you what, that kind of aggravation to kill a turkey, I'm telling you, I don't get it. A deer, anything else. To trespass on somebody's property for 5 days in a row, the guy ought to be fined $1,500 for just being stupid. However, we'll let the law of the land take its course. I feel like playing good old boys for these chuckleheads. This guy from Arkansas and this guy from Elkton. Ah, good grief. And then, three people were issued citations for not wearing life jackets on the Upper Potomac River, as required by regulation, and fled when they were approached by the officer. The officer was patrolling near Four Locks at 4 p.m. on Sunday, saw a small vessel approaching the ramp. The officer drove to the ramp to conduct a safety inspection. The operator put the boat in gear and motored upstream. Smart. The officer activated his emergency light, siren, and truck horn. The operator and one of the passengers turned around and looked. Wonder if they waved. Hey, officer. But continued around the bend in the river out of sight. 10 minutes later, the boat came back and all three people were wearing life jackets. When questioned, they admitted they fled in order to put their life jackets on. We're sorry, officer. We didn't realize you had seen us without our life jackets. So we went up around the bend here and we put the life jackets on before we came back. State regulations require boaters to wear life jackets on the Upper Potomac from November 15th to May 15th. It's for your own protection, you morons. Craig Lord, 54, of Inwood, West Virginia, was charged with failing to wear a life jacket on the Upper Potomac River, failing to have a proper safety equipment aboard, and eluding a police officer while in a vessel. He could be fined as much as $1,175. Both passengers Jamie Trian Zirk of Martinsburg, 44, and Melvert Robert Stottlemyre, 39, of Falling Waters, were both cited for failing to wear a life jacket. Each could be fined $85. Mr. Lord, I'm wondering if you learned your lesson that it cost you $1,090 more than it would have cost you if you had just come in and faced the music. Apparently not. Oh, well, this is for you guys.
Just a good old boy.
I really don't like poachers.
Never meaning no harm.
I mean, some people are just stupid.
Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law.
And you can't
since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will.
Nope.
Making their way, the only way they know how. Well, that's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
Yep. What do you have to do to educate people? It's difficult. Not impossible, but anyway. Hey, for great fishing tackle, for crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Now, you ought to go see my friend Bud. Yeah. To get there, you take Route 100 all the way to the end. You hop on Mountain Road toward Gibson Island. You go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Go in there and cheer Bud up. He's had a tough week with all this rain. If you need any type of fishing or crabbing supplies, the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay, Fishbones is your place. And Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you will ever find. That number, 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573, for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena, Maryland. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Hey, the Harvard and Grace Decoy Museum is hosting the 35th Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Harvard and Grace Decoy Museum. This year's event is today, starts at 9, and tomorrow, 10 to 4. And you know what? It's $10 for the entire weekend. Kids under 12 are admitted free with a paying adult. Carving competitions, a retriever demonstration, a live raptor display, a sculling competition, a silent auction, and much, much more, featuring the community and nonprofit organizations. There are over 100 decoy carvers, wildlife artists, photographers, and others will be on hand to showcase their work, much of it for sale. This festival is family-friendly and has great food and lots to see and do. Free shuttle buses run between the museum, the middle school, and the activity center where all the action is. You, too, can learn about the great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake Bay at the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Harvard and Grace Decoy Museum today and tomorrow. For more information, visit decoymuseum.com or just stop by. Call 410-939-3739. You may not get an answer today, but you can always try calling. And we'll see you at the Decoy Festival. And we introduce a new sponsor today. Hang on a second. Upper Bay Gun Club is going to be joining us for a number of months. Tom Slavin, the head honcho there, called in a couple of weeks ago. And let me read this to you, and maybe you'll understand a little bit better. Maryland's Upper Eastern Shore has a rich tradition of dove hunting, waterfowl hunting, deer hunting, and turkey hunting. And now you too, can hunt over a dozen Upper Shore farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. You can choose a yearly membership, like I did, and hunt all season long. Or you can call about guided daily hunts with Upper Bay Gun Club, or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience, can answer all your questions about all these farms and any question you might have. Call Tom at 443-309-3788. I'm sorry. Say that again. 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. That's call Tom Slavin at 443-309-3788. And that's for the Upper Bay Gun Club. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
People pouring over our borders, wave after wave after wave of people who do not share our cultural beliefs, our beliefs about government, who do not seek to become American citizens.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 7, Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
CCR there. 410-WCBM 680. 410-922-6680. Why no phone calls this morning? Come on. You can interrupt me anytime you want. That's what I'm here for, to be interrupted and speak with you about anything on your mind, fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. That's what I'm here for, like I said. Let's talk about something for a minute. This is on the Boone and Crockett email that came out. And it's a very, if you're a hunter, it's a very, very nice email to sign up for. And a lot of interesting stuff on there. And by the way, thanks again to the Boone and Crockett Club for recognizing the Maryland Hunting Coalition and their leadership on the Poaching Restitution Act here in Maryland. So the question is, do you legally own that deer? And this is an article by Gordon Whittington. The question of who owns our native game animals isn't quite as easy to answer as it might seem. if you operate under the so-called North American wildlife model, as virtually all wildlife agencies do, as in Maryland, most native vertebrates belong to the public as a whole. It's called the public trust doctrine. It goes back to the 1850s, I believe. It's public trust doctrine. Now, that garden slug on your petunias or the mouse behind the refrigerator is fair game, but a deer or squirrel in the woods is another matter. Even if a game animal stays on one farm 24/7, 365 until killed, it belongs to no one. No one. Even then, any and all rules regarding the harvest must be followed. Actually, it not only belongs to no one, but it belongs to everyone. It's called the public trust doctrine. Okay? That sounds pretty clear, and it's both understood and accepted by most folks, but as many other simple concepts, the devil can be in the details, and over time, the details of wildlife ownership have mutated into a murky mess. To show how slippery this slope can be, take the case of a world-class buck poached in Kansas several years ago. The outlaw who shot the deer got busted because when he entered it into the Kansas Monster Buck Classic, someone recognized it as one caught on trail camera several counties away. An investigation by the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks led to the confession by the poacher. He admitted to having illegally shot the deer, a giant scoring well into the 190s Boone and Crockett on someone else's land. That immediately led to charges being filed, as well as state confiscation of the huge 7x7 rack. When the son of the offended landowner tried to get the antlers returned to him, Kentucky Wildlife and Parks refused, as well as the agency should have, in my view. The fact that the buck was poached was obviously regrettable, but after it happened, what claim could the family actually have had to the rack? The buck wasn't their property in real life. How could it be in death? Owning acreage in two states, I'm all for incentivizing private landowners to manage wildlife habitat and populations responsibly. But we can take it too far. There's a danger in letting an individual own any wildlife that step onto, slither through, or fly over that patch of dirt. Returning a poached deer to a property owner would create its own issues. What might keep an unethical landowner from killing a buck out of season or at night, then reporting the dead deer is poached and demanding its return after the investigation? If a landowner could demand any deer that walked on his or her land be given back, it could lead to profiting from illegal activity. And so we'll leave it there for now. Let's talk to Ron in Middle River. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Yeah, this is Daddy Cool.
Hey, Dad Cool. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Officer, enjoy your show. I'm going to be honoring the troops up there at the Flower Mart in Baltimore at Mount Vernon today. I'm going to be taking my spaceship up there also for the kids. It's at this, let's see.
Hey, Ron, are you doing a commercial for something you're doing yourself? Is that what you're trying to do here?
Pardon?
Are you doing a commercial for something you're trying to do yourself that you profit from?
Yeah, well,
okay.
This is for the troops.
Yeah, it's for Ron. Uh-huh. It's for Daddy Cool. So, Daddy Cool, here's the deal. You wanna publicize an event or something that you're doing for profit, you call me ahead of time. We might talk about it. We might make a deal. But this is a commercial radio show, and we appreciate the call there, Daddy Cool. You have a wonderful day. You called in, and your topic was fishing, and now it's not. Goodbye. Well, thank you for the first call of the day. (clears throat) 410 WCBM 680. That's how it works. You want to promote an event, you want to promote something, you call Alan or send me an email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. It's all on the website. And then... Exactly right, Brian. Yeah, it happens. No. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. I don't like to start it out like that. Anyway, if you have any comments about who the deer belong to, who the animals belong to, they don't belong to you. I don't care if you fed them. I don't care if they eat your crops. I don't care if, you know, they've been hanging around your farm for 15 years. Same deer, it ain't yours. It belongs to the citizens of Maryland. It belongs to the... it belongs to no one, it belongs to everyone. So, here's what's this is leading to. Along with the ever-increasing monetary value of wildlife, and we've just proven that with the passage of the Poaching Restitution Act here in Maryland in the General Assembly. Let's hope the governor signs that on Tuesday. Along with the ever-increasing monetary value of wildlife, we've seen a push for stronger private property rights. In some cases, this has involved an effort to allow personal ownership of native game. That would mean, and that was illustrated here in the 2015 General Assembly session, when there were the Maryland Horse Council and the Maryland Farm Bureau and others were pushing for the commercialization of wild deer. The commercialization for the sale of venison by farmers that were taken on crop damage permits or deer management permits, otherwise known as crop damage permits. And the Maryland Hunting Coalition fought that tooth and nail. The Department of Natural Resources testified that it would be almost unmanageable to do something, and yet the Farm Bureau and the Horse Council persisted in trying to push this initiative that if a farmer shot a deer on his farm under a deer management permit, he could then take the carcass of that deer, have it processed, and sell it for meat. What a horrible, horrible concept. And I believe it's still on our Maryland Hunting Coalition website, my testimony to the same and what could potentially happen if we ever allow that in Maryland. We thought it was coming back again in 2016. It did not. We don't know if it will come back in 2017. We hope it doesn't. But if it does, we'll be prepared. So, the writer then ventures into another little deal here. It says even without such a shift of moving the here it is. Along with the ever-increasing monetary value of wildlife, we've seen a push for stronger private property rights. In some cases, this has involved an effort to allow personal ownership of native game. Making that change would turn wild deer into just another form of livestock. And that's exactly what they wanted to do here in Maryland, subject only to the whims of the landowner. The only regulation of that resource would lie within a state or province animal health commission, not its wildlife agency, and that's exactly what would have happened. They would have turned the management of white-tailed deer not over to Maryland Department of Natural Resources, but the Department of Agriculture. Not going to happen. Even without such a shift, the line between wild and captive deer grows ever less distinct. In Ohio last fall, several big bucks escaped from a high-fence tract. One of the deer still carried its ear tag when shot by a hunter, but the guy didn't care. In fact, he knew the buck was an escapee before he shot. He was proud of his kill. So does this legally taken former captive buck belong in the record book? The questions have only just begun. So I don't know. Interesting stuff. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We're going to take a little break here. Listen, it's time to book your dove hunt with Upper Bay Gun Club. You can hunt over sunflowers on this handful of farms located that are loaded with doves. Dove hunts run $150 per person and includes lunch. Now, you hurry. The dates are filling up fast and space is limited. Hunt deer, waterfowl, and turkeys on private farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership like I did or call about guided day hunts or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience. He can answer all your questions. Call Tom at 443-309-3788. For the best hunting of your life, give Tom Slavin a call at 443-309-3788 for the Upper Bay Gun Club. You will be glad you did. Hey, if you enjoy gardening, I always recommend Schillinger, Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. Stop by and visited Jimmy and Gina the other day. I'll tell you what. you drive in there, you park, and there are all these farm wagons just loaded with flowers of all sizes, shapes, colors. It's absolutely beautiful. You drive right there. You have a cart. If you want to load up a cart with the packs and flats and all that stuff that you want, they've got them right there. You wheel them up to the little stand, and you make your purchase. The greenhouses are indeed bursting with beautiful plants and flowers, annuals by the pack or the flat, perennials by the pot, bedding plants, planters, hanging baskets, colorful pansies, impatiens, petunias, and they even carry the proven winter specialty plants. Now, Papa John's has all the vegetable plants, too, ready to plant in your home garden. Tomatoes and squash and onions and watermelon, cantaloupe, 10 varieties of hot peppers, even your own homegrown herbs for your cooking. Papa John's Farm is located just off I-97, exit 12. That's 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. Drive right to the greenhouses to make your selections or call 410-969-5909. You think about the flowers and plants from Papa John's Farm for your garden, for your church. Mother's Day is tomorrow. Call 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linux at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linux Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linux Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linux Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linux Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. You know what? Bay Linux and Catonsville Linux now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linux Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linux, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Hey, Clyde Sports Shop. I was in there yesterday. Yep. And I bought a couple things for fishing. You know, they're a great selection of terminal tackle. You know that? Weights and hooks and swivels. I mean, that's not all the exciting stuff, you know, like the lures and all the latest whiz bangs and all that stuff. If you want a nuts and bolts fishing tackle shop, gun shop, Clyde Sports Shop is the place to go. They've got what you need. In other words, hey, I need some three-way swivels right there. I need some ball bearings right there. I need some worm weights right there. I need some, that's the kind of thing. Plus, not only that, they've got all the rod and reel repairs. They've got great suggestions and know where everything is. I needed some leader material. They got that. If you need, new line wound on your spool, I did that last week. They did that. You need a rod repaired, a reel repaired. A couple weeks ago, a buddy of mine sent some pen reels over from the Eastern Shore, and we got them done. You know, so it's full service. And do the same thing with firearms. You need your shotgun cleaned. You got a bullet stuck in your muzzleloader. You need a scope put on. Clyde Sports Shop. Just saying. Everything you need for fishing, hunting, and crabbing. 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108. 24-hour fishing hotline is 410-247-3474. You remember that, 247-FISH. And make sure you stop in there and see their brand new sign up over the building. It's pretty cool. All right.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
back.
We're back. Let's talk to Denise in Chestertown and then Russ in St. Michael's. Good morning there, Denise. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis. Oh, my gosh, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I listen to you every Saturday morning. My husband was a hunter, and he taught our boys how to fish. And he was really sick, and he just passed away Tuesday.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Denise. Yes, indeed.
Thank you. And I just wanted to say thank you for all you do for the hunters and the fishermen. And the wonderful work you've done with the Maryland Hunting Association. And I still wanted to sign my husband up for the hunters with disabilities when he lost his leg, but I didn't make it in time.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say thank you.
Denise, yes, listen, sir? Listen, sweetie. I've been through what you're going through. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And your call is very humbling. You know, we have a good time here, and we hope to get a couple laughs and entertain and educate some folks. But
a
call like yours is just very, very humbling. And
I love listening to you. Oh, I miss Charles. Listening to his stories, and I love Fern, and
yeah.
I just wish, and I always remember you signed off one morning and you said that Alan Summers was so happy that he wet his plants. I will never forget that. So it makes me laugh, and you always make me laugh.
I'm glad to hear that.
Your stories, and I love all your callers. And I just wanted to say thank you so much.
Thank you, Denise.
And God bless.
And listen, you're on the. We'll put you and your family on the prayer list. And
thank you so much.
Indeed, and you know, I hope God brings you comfort in this terrible time.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much.
Thanks, Denise.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
There she goes. Russ in St. Michael's.
Hey, Alan.
How do you follow that?
Alec?
How do you follow that?
I don't know. It's pretty hard.
Indeed. So how can we help you this morning there, Russ?
Well, I live down in St. Michael's.
Uh-huh.
We were out to dinner the other night with a few couples. One was a retired chief of police, another retired state trooper, and another working clown. We got to talking about all this rain.
Yeah.
I said, down on my farm, I've got so many frogs, big bullfrogs that I haven't seen for years.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, I used to gig for frogs.
Yeah.
Went to Canada one year, bear hunting, and we gigged every night. And we had frog legs for breakfast every morning.
Oh, my gosh. What a wonderful breakfast.
And they do taste like chicken.
They do. Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. But
One of the fellows there said, and I said I might try to find my gig and go out and gig a couple. And he said he thought that it was illegal anymore. You can't gig for frogs anymore.
Well,
so
you know,
the other was suggested I give you a call and find out.
Well, I'm glad you called, and your retired chief of police called here, called me last Saturday and warned me that you might be calling. And I said, well, what's the subject? And I said, I'll dig a little bit. So I emailed some folks within DNR, and here's how it went. I emailed Fisheries. Fisheries said, let me check. Nope.
They probably didn't know what a gig was.
Well, they knew. Yeah, they knew. Nothing under fishing. Let's go to wildlife. So they went to the head of wildlife. They went to the head guy, Paul Pedito. Paul said, well, let me give you some COMAR regulations. So here are the COMAR regulations, and I can email all this to you if you want to read it all, but long and short is it is illegal to gig frogs in the state of Maryland. It is also illegal to shoot frogs with a bow and arrow. It is illegal to shoot frogs with a firearm. It is illegal to do anything that penetrates the skin of a frog to take it. You may only use dip nets or catch them by hand. Now, to me, if I'm out catching bullfrogs, I want to do that with... you can't use a rod and reel, hook and line either. Sorry. If I'm out catching bullfrogs, And this was fun. I'd see one when I was fishing, and I'd take a little bright colored lure and dangle it in front of them, you know, and they'd bite that, and you could collect your frog that way. But that you're not allowed to do that anymore because that penetrates the skin of the frog. God knows why we've got this law on the books, but somewhere it came around back in the 90s, and I don't know if frog gigging was causing a purge of the entire bullfrog population of Maryland, and they were, you know, the frog lobby was petitioning our General Assembly, but that's where we are with it.
What do you do with a frog once you got it in the net?
Well, what you do with the frog once you got it in the net, after it comes to bag, it is in your possession. I don't know if you're supposed to put them in a bucket or a cooler and keep them alive until the ultimate end, but my thought process is, if you are catching frogs to eat, what difference does it make?
Right.
I guess they want to prevail and prevent people from killing frogs recreationally.
Gotcha.
You know, kids with BB guns and things like that. I mean, I can understand it, but, you know, a serious frogger like yourself who enjoys eating frog legs and wants to collect their own from the wild, I see nothing wrong with it. By the way, the limit is 4.
Gotcha. Might be just easier to just go buy some frog legs, huh?
Well, you know, what this inspires me to do would be come down to your farm, Russ, and go out there with a dip net, and you and I dip about 8 frogs and maybe get together a gang of 10 and go out and dip 40 frogs and have ourselves a frog leg fry and catch a couple fish out of that pond and throw them in the fryer too.
Sounds good.
So, but that's the rules. Very convoluted, very hard to find. They're not covered by fisheries. They're covered by wildlife. And, yes, we don't want to be cruel to the frogs by breaking their skin just prior to cutting their legs off.
Right. All right, Alan, I certainly appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, Russ.
Thank you.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. Captain Don in the Virgin Islands, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Shout out. We're sitting on the deck here having a coffee, looking at Chenate Bay.
Nice. It's a little different in Pasadena, isn't it, Captain Don?
It is. You know, it's partly sunny here.
Yeah.
The sun's coming up. A lot of clouds blowing in from the south, and I think they're all going up toward Maryland. And
Oh, thank you for that. Nothing we need more than rain.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've had a lot of rain here, and it causes land crabs to, you'll see them on the side of the road, and a lot of the locals catch them, and they put them in a stew.
Uh-huh.
With red beans and rice and all that, and it's quite an event to see all these folks along the road at night with lights looking for these crabs.
Interesting.
And a lot of frogs.
Yeah.
And the folks down here are hunting frogs, and so they
are they allowed to penetrate the skin with their methods?
You know, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
A lot of things I don't know that go on down here. Looking for a nice spot to go fishing.
Yeah.
I don't see many people going fishing down here, and
they're all out catching crabs at night and gigging frogs.
Well, it's $100 an hour to go out on a boat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some of the charters. But I was just sitting here listening, like I say, having a coffee, and I heard your commercial for Clyde's. And I was on a mission the other day to search for a little bait shop because, you know, I'm so used to, you know, Clyde's and some of your other sponsors.
Yeah, sure.
But down the road, couldn't find a bait store. The only bait store that's advertised is actually a bar.
Right. Nice.
But you go to the local Kmart. There are 2 Kmarts on the aisle, and there's 1 Kmart that has them. But anyway, it was just interesting that a place down here, I can't find a bait store or tackle shop.
Sounds to me like you need to go sit by the dock and wait for these guys to come in and then just have a conversation with them and let them get the bait locally if you're going out with them. You know, spend a couple hundred bucks and catch something, you know?
Also, some guys using the cast net up by the Frederickstead Pier.
Yeah, that'll work. And, sure. That's how they get their bait. Yep.
Yeah. So, that, and a lot of the, I'll say the locals, use they don't use fishing rods and reels. They use spoils of fishing lines.
Right. Yeah. What, so what's the catch of the day down there?
Snook.
Oh, yeah.
Something called snook.
Yeah.
I ran into a guy on the plane last week was telling me that there are some places here that are just swarming with snook.
You need to experience that. Those are tremendous fighting game fish, snook.
Uh-huh.
Tremendous.
I think you said there's something like tarpon.
Well, not exactly. I mean, they're very strong fighting fish, and they put a good battle on. But, you know, the snook season in Florida, for example, is extremely prized. I mean, these guys go after these fish, and they're just tremendous. So give that a shot if you can get a chance. So.
Yeah, but again, good morning. Hello to all the listeners from Virgin Islands.
Well, we're all jealous now, Don. You have a wonderful day.
Take care.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Well, that wraps up the first hour. We hope we'll get some calls the second hour, and we'll try to bring you some more interesting stuff. Here's an interesting question. Where did the rockfish go? Been out trolling this week? The bite is gone. Is it the weather, or are the fish gone? Just throwing it out there. Many schools of thought. Everybody has a theory. What's yours? Let us know. 410 WCBM 680 after the news. We'll be right back. Get out, stay safe.